So, chapter 79, Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. Text number one. Oh, Jamuna, come on. You were doing so well. Now you're slipping again. What happened? Maya is creeping in.
I got late on this
day. Every day it was late.
You said I was doing well.
No, you're doing well. For months you're doing well. Now I see you're slipping again. This is, I'm watching.
Too much work.
Next week. Yeah, too much study in Bhagavatam. This is the real goal of life. Back to the spiritual world. Sri Krishna Chandra. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, then, on the new moon day, O King, a fierce and frightening wind arose, scattering dust all about and spreading the smell of pus everywhere. So this is very inauspicious. When there's negative winds, and when this is very inauspicious. When they're like the smell of pus is like very inauspicious. In as we've said previously, in the Vedic system, there is a science of omens, negative omens. You'll see some negative thing will take place. This negative thing takes place when there is inauspicious activity on the earth. If you read in Canto 9, Lord Ramachandra was ruling, Ram Raj. Just like we had Lord Ramachandra's appearance day. That was on Sunday. Right. So we had Lord Ram. So it says in the Bhagavatam, when Ram was ruling, then for like 30,000 years, it describes, there was complete peace and prosperity, and everything was auspicious. It means the weather was always nice. It means that during the daytime, the weather was nice, and it would only ever rain at nighttime. So everyone would go to sleep. The rain would come, everything became lush and fertile, and then during the day there was never any rain, and everything was very peaceful, and the weather was always auspicious and satisfying. Like today was a very nice day. that kind of weather. This comes from auspiciousness. When the public is auspicious, then these things will take place. Unfortunately now, because people are very sinful and they perform sinful activities, then everything becomes very turbulent. The weather is turbulent. And that, it's a direct result of our sinful activities. You know, the inauspicious things like the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the fires. You know, this is a sign of inauspiciousness. This means that things are because of sinful activities. Just like, you know, the church in Paris, you saw maybe on the news, burning down. You know, one of the most famous churches in the whole world, burning down. It's an inauspicious thing. These things are taking place when there's sinful activity. Now, when people are not behaving properly. So this demon, he is raining down like pus, and all the wind becomes very turbulent. So it's a sign that things are not very good. Inauspicious things. So, in the past, there was a whole science. People could see these things. Just by seeing the omens around them, they could tell, oh, good things are coming or bad things are coming. Like in Mahabharata, it describes when Duryodhana was born. What were some of the symptoms?
Braying of donkeys.
What is it?
Braying of donkeys.
Braying of donkeys, yeah. Yep. Braying of donkeys, what else?
Jackals howling.
Yeah, jackals were howling. And said the sky became very dark. There's big wind. Inauspicious rains. We don't get them now in Kali Yuga, but previously, sometimes at very inauspicious times, then blood would come or pus would come. If it begins to rain like that, that's very inauspicious. Sometimes there's the deities, they have tears. It's like inauspicious. So now this Bilbo is like Rakshasa person. He's coming, so now everything is becoming very dark and suspicious. Any points? Okay. So, next, onto the sacrificial arena came a downpour of abominable things sent by Balbal. After which the demon himself appeared, trident in hand. So Lord Balaram has been asked to take care of this person. Why is Balaram going to deal with him?
To protect the Brahmanas.
Yeah, to protect the Brahmanas, yeah. And
the sacrificial fire.
Yeah, and the devotees. The devotees, the Brahmanas, like that. Whenever there is demoniac spirit, it must be crushed. Right? We see in ISKCON, if anyone is acting improperly, any of the members are acting improperly, we have to immediately be very firm, very strong. We cannot tolerate these things. Otherwise, there will be problems will ensue. So this is the system. There has to be strong governance. That's what we learn from Krishna and Balaram. No, Krishna and Balaram were never sentimental. And that's what it means to be a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya is a very fair person. He is a very good-hearted person. Actually, Kshatriyas are very jovial people. They're very happy people. But they will not tolerate any improper action or improper activities. And immediately they will chastise. That's a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is not scared to correct. And as devotees, we cannot be scared to correct. You know, if you see something not proper, it has to be corrected. I was saying this to the devotees in the last couple of days. You know, I notice there's many standards, even since when I joined. Things are not like, some standards are being lost, I'm seeing. And devotees aren't being trained. I think in general, not being trained as well. In general. You know, things are getting bigger now. A lot more devotees now than when I was here. But the training needs to be there. There needs to be more, in my opinion, more training. And devotees, just simple things like cleanliness and different standards and even cooking, how to cook properly. You know, the deity offerings aren't as good in general as they used to be. Many things need to be done. So people need to be trained. One of the problems is that devotees don't like to tell other devotees what to do. Everyone just wants to be like, you know, I can't tell someone, I don't want to tell someone, like that. But it's your responsibility. You have to train. You have to say to devotees, hey, don't do like this, you have to do like this, like that. It has to be done. Proper system. Yeah. So here, Balbal is not acting properly, so he has to be chastised. We cannot tolerate these things. Because Krishna consciousness has to be practiced peacefully. Especially in the temple, it has to be a place of peace. Now, outside is crazy, but here it has to be a very peaceful place. So we have to be strong in our enforcing the laws of Krishna consciousness. Meditate on Lord Balaram. Prabhupada said you pray to Lord Balaram to give you strength in devotional service, because Balaram is the most powerful. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Balaram. Any points?
Lord Ramachandra was called upon Vishwamitra to protect the sacrificial fire from the demons. He took Lakshmana and Rama to guard the sacrificial fire.
Yeah, that's the Kshatriya's duty. Yeah. And then Shatrughna, Rama's brother, he was sent to Mathura because Rama lived in Ayodhya. So in Mathura there were some demons there, so then Shatrughna had to go and kill one demon. That's the duty of the Kshatriya. He cannot be scared to act, to be strong and to correct and chastise. Any points? Yes.
When we talk about sinful activities, like it is said that we should not live in that place where some self-activities are performed. So how do you see that we are living in a landowners, full of self-activities? For example, I met a person last month, he was manager at a beef factory. He said every month we murder 20,000 cows in Altona. So how do we see that thing? Like we are living in that place, self-activities, right?
Yeah, if we don't live in those places, they'll never change. So we have to live there, and then we have to perform devotional activities, auspicious activities, to change the whole atmosphere of the place. So we have to preach more and more and more. Just like on Monday, was it last week? Yeah, last week. Then the the vegans protested in the city. You might have heard. Caused big like uproar like that. So it's good. The good side is that they are creating more awareness around the issue. We have to preach as well. We don't preach like that. We do a different type of preaching. We have to push more, spread Krishna consciousness more. Open more vegetarian restaurants, prasadam restaurants. I know it's hard work, but you should do it. Any other points? The immense demon resembled a mass of black carbon. His topknot and beard were like molten copper, and his face had horrible fangs and furrowed eyebrows. Upon seeing him, Lord Balaram thought of his club, which tears to pieces his enemies' armies, and his plow weapon, which punishes the demons. Thus summoned, his two weapons appeared before him at once. So, in Dwapara Yuga, this is Dwapara Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, they used to fight the demons with weapons. Yeah, you could take weapons. These days, we cannot fight the demons like that. Lord Chaitanya says we have to kill the demoniac spirit, because you can't kill people in this day and age. You know, if they're wrong, you have to kill the demoniac spirit. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Lord Chaitanya has many angas. Anga means limb, expansions. And it says that the Lord Chaitanya's weapons are his devotees. The devotees are the weapons of the Lord to spread Krishna consciousness. So that is how we kill the demoniac spirit, by preaching. So each one of us has to take responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness more and more in this world. Prabhupada even said that the women are like the secret weapon. What did he mean by that? The female devotees, why are they like a secret weapon?
Generally, people don't resist when demons approach about
the thing. Yeah, so the women have to be pushed forward to preach and spread Krishna consciousness. Just like in Harinam, we go and chant. Indrajumnaswami, like when I joined ISKCON, the women always at the back, the men at the front. Then Indrajumnaswami, he changed it around. Put all the Matajis at the front, dancing nicely, very colourful and dancing nicely, and the men at the back. Yeah? Because this spreads the movement very nicely. And most of the time the men, it's not very, I don't feel very inspired a lot of the time going with the men. Because the men just, they don't even dance properly. They look like these stupid guys that kind of just, float around the back, and they're all out of order, and they can't even, they're all looking in different places. And at least the women are all coordinated and colourful and nice. The men are just like these guys that kind of hang around the back, play some instruments and sing a bit, but they're not very coordinated. Everything should be very coordinated, very nice. Then it becomes very effective, the preaching. So the devotees are the angas, the devotees are the weapons. So it means we have to keep ourselves sharp in Krishna consciousness, because we have to become weapons. And devotees should be like a weapon in the hands of the Lord, like a sword. The sword has two edges. What are the two edges? Krishna says in Gita, the two-edged sword of knowledge and detachment. That's how devotees become potent in preaching. You cultivate knowledge and you cultivate detachment. If you're detached, then people will listen to you. If you're attached to this world, people don't listen. Because you say you're a spiritual person, but you're very attached to this world, then everyone says, well, that's not spiritual. I won't listen to that person. But if you're detached and they can see it, they become very inspired. They listen to you. And if you have great knowledge, just like he's holding this Bandhaswami, he's just upstairs there. He's one of the most knowledgeable devotees in our ISKCON. And then because of that knowledge, he has so much potency to preach. So we have to cultivate knowledge and detachment, and then we will be effective in our preaching. So. Any points? Okay. With the tip of his plow, Lord Balaram caught hold of the demon Balval as he flew through the sky, and with his club, the Lord angrily struck that harasser of brahmanas on the head. So how did Lord Balaram stop the demon? Grabbed him with his plow. He was flying. So he got Lord Balaram, grabbed him with the plow, and grabbed him, pulled him down. And with the club, he smashed him. So Lord Balaram is a expert fighter. Yeah. And once again, how do we spread Krishna consciousness? In this day and age, it's not by fighting. We don't practice with the bow and the club and the sword because that's not our method. In this day and age, it comes by preaching. So we have to become expert preachers, just like Lord Balaram, expert with his weapons. That was his way of maintaining Dharma. So how do we maintain it? By becoming expert in preaching. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you have to learn the philosophy very well. Prabhupada said you have to become expert in the books. He said we should know our books just like the...
Muslims know the Quran.
The Muslims know the Quran. And Prabhupada, he actually said, like the Christians know the Bible. And he also said, like the lawyer knows the law book. We have to know Prabhupada's books very well so that we can quote any part of Prabhupada's books. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Nectar of Devotion says, Bhagavatam says, Bhagavad Gita says. We should know so well. And then we become very effective in spreading this science. Prabhupada says we have to rack our brains how to spread it. Have to rack our brains, newer ways to spread the movement, especially to the Western people. We've worked out very effectively in this temple how to make the Indian people into devotees. But we have to work out effective ways to bring the Western people to Krishna. That's not so easy. That's 10 times harder. It's hard to bring one Indian person to Krishna, but it's 10 times harder to bring a Western person. So you have to think in your brain so many ways to attract them to Krishna consciousness. See around the world, many devotees doing. Just like Charu Prabhu. You know that devotee? Charu, Prabhupada disciple.
He's from Utah, isn't he?
Utah. Yeah, yeah, they've got the big temple, looks like Kusum Sarovara. So he preaches down in Salt Lake City, in the city in Utah. And sometimes in the evening, he has do you know this rave music? Like Western, like the teenagers go to the rave. It's like, music like dun, 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 dun. So he has like Krishna conscious version. And the young people come, right? And then he has music and then, mantra wrapped in. And then he stops it all and then everyone does yoga. So you like all different ways just to bring people, like racking your brains. All sorts of things you have to do to bring people to Krishna. Think again and again and again. Just like His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you know Bhakti Tirtha Swami? He was famous for doing these things. And sometimes devotees would criticize him. Because you see many pictures of Maharaj. He dresses in many ways in the pictures. Sometimes dressed like sannyasi. Other times he wears like a suit. You know, and he has like a Nehru hat. Other times he has like African like colors on an African. I even saw one picture, he has like big feathers in his head, like a crown, like an African chief leader. Because wherever he preached in different places, he would wear different things. And I heard him say on one lecture, he said, I will wear a bathing suit if it will make people chant Hare Krishna. He said, I will dress anyway. If I can make someone chant, then I will dress like that. And even Prabhupada said, devotees, they do not have to wear devotional cloth all the time. He said they can wear suits, you know, like dress very nicely. And then he said they can wear tilak and shave their head and wear neck beads. But he said, you know, when they're preaching, they can wear different things. You know, whatever it takes to spread Krishna consciousness. So you have to think, you have to become expert. Like Lord Balaram is expert with his weapons, you have to become expert with your preaching, spreading the holy name. Hare Krishna. Any points? Yeah, he was the one. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, he gets 80,000 people come to his festival. Yeah. Yeah, I tried to imitate him, and we only got 600 people. He got it. Yeah, it's good. That's good. All Westerners, but he got 80,000. Next year I'm going to try to get more people, but we'll see. He's very effective. Empowered by Krishna. He's very Krishna. He built that whole temple. The whole temple looks like a Sum Sarovara. He used to go out and sell cookies. They would bake cookies, and then he would just go around all shops and everything and sell cookies. And he raised money to build that big, beautiful temple. And also, he sell llamas. You know what llama is? Llama is like an alpaca, you know, alpaca, llama.
Yeah.
It's like a big...
A little version of a camel.
Yeah, like smaller than a camel, bigger than a goat. You know, it's like this, you know, alpaca, llama, you know, they have in Himalaya. Yeah, so he would sell them. Even now he sells in America. He has on his temple, in next door they have one field, they keep the alpaca. People come and they buy an alpaca, and that's how he made money to build a temple. So always racking the brain how to spread Krishna, different ways, different ways. Try different things, anything, spread Krishna consciousness. Any points? Okay. Balval cried out in agony and fell to the ground. His forehead cracked open in gushing blood. He resembled the red mountain struck by a lightning bolt.
According to the acharyas, the demon appeared reddish with blood like a mountain red with fire.
Any points? Any other points? There is so much in this purport. Anything? There's a difference between the demon's body and the body of the Lord, Krishna's body. Krishna's body is Satchitananda Vigraha. When we go to the spiritual world, if we get to go back to the spiritual world, we will also get a body which is made of Satchitananda Vigraha. You will have a spiritual form. And spiritual form does not have veins or organs. They're not necessary inside the spiritual body. The material body has these things. So Balval, he is bleeding. If we see any pastime where the Lord bleeds, that is Yogamaya. That is just for, that's Leela Shakti. What are some examples where you see the Lord bleeding?
Nrisimhadev.
Bhishma.
Sorry. Bhishmadev. What is that?
Not bleeding. The arrows that he's taken.
Hmm. Yeah, Bhishma shot arrows at Krishna. And how did Krishna feel?
Like flowers, petals. Much better than the offerings of the Smarthala.
Any other examples? The Lord is bleeding. The which one?
Draupadi's example, where Krishna, you know, has cut his finger and immediately she torn her sari and she was...
What is that pastime?
I don't exactly remember the whole pastime, but somehow Krishna's hand was cut.
Shishupala, when Krishna was killing Shishupala,
yeah.
Krishna's hand was cut.
And then what happened?
Draupadi gave cut a piece of the sari and then died.
Yeah. Any other examples? The Lord is bleeding.
Lord Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda. Which pastime is that? Jagai Amatai. He was struck in the head with a clay pot and then blood appeared. But Lord cannot bleed, so it is not possible. There's Lila Shakti. Just enhances the pastime. Increases the attachment of the devotee. That is all. The exalted sages honored Lord Ram with sincere prayers and awarded him infallible blessings. Then they performed his ritual bath, just as the demigods had formerly bathed Indra when he killed Vritra. So, Balaram received the blessings of? Yeah, the sages, the brahmanas, the rishis, like that. So as the Bhagavatam teaches us again and again, you only make spiritual advancement when you act in such a way that the Vaishnavas bless you. Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. If you can't act in that way, then Krishna will not come to see you. Right? You have to act in such a way that the devotees, the brahmanas, the Lord himself is pleased with you. When the Lord is pleased, then he will give his blessings. If he's not pleased, then you'll never receive the blessings. That is the whole system. The Bhagavatam teaches us again and again and again. You have to receive blessings. So Lord Balaram, he did the right thing. This is called Dakshina. No? What is Dakshina? Huh? Dakshina.
South side?
What?
Is it South Dakshina?
Maybe that's one translation, but
south.
Dakshina.
Like Dakshina.
Yeah. Yeah, Dakshina means you give. Huh? What is that? What does it mean, Dakshina?
To offer something.
Yeah, you have to offer something. It means that even in Nectar of Devotion, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says you can't go to see the deity without giving a gift. But we don't do that. Every time we see it, we don't bring like a gift. You know, on appearance days we offer something, but we don't do it every time. But it says in Nectar of Devotion, when you go to see the deity, you should always come with a gift. Mm? So then if you can't bring something, then what should you do? You give your life. When you offer obeisances before the deities, what are you doing? What is your meditation?
Offering your body for the
meditation. Yeah. Yeah, or you can meditate. Like, I'm giving my whole life to you. I can't offer you anything else better than this. I'll give my life to you. So when you're offering obeisance before the deities, that's what you're meditating on. I'm giving you my life. My mind, my thoughts, my words, my deeds in the service of Krishna. That's the meditation of the devotee. So that means dakshina.
Dakshina means a jagya is not complete until you give dakshina. It's a part of the jagya. When you take initiation, you have to give dakshina. You have to give something. You know, quite often you'll see when devotees take initiation, they'll go around and beg, particularly brahmacharis and like that. Go around and beg from all the devotees, and we all give some money, and then they go and they give that to their guru. That is part of the process of the jagya. The jagya is not complete until the person who is having the jagya performed on his behalf gives dakshina to the priest. That is the system. You have to get the blessings. So Balaram, he is looking to get the blessings. Just like at lunchtime, Chinchirupa Mataji, she was telling us that in Mayapur, all around the world, there are different, what we call zones for ISKCON. And GBCs are situated. Like, who is the GBC for Australia? Ramai Swami and Devamrita Swami. You should all know all this. You should all know. It should be very clear in your mind. It's important who are our GBC. Right? So Ramai Swami, Devamrita Swami. Right? So all around the world we have different locations, there are different GBC leaders. Right? So in Mayapur it is Jayapataka Swami. So Chinchirupa Mataji was saying that at the end of the GBC meetings every year, Jayapataka Swami gives a gift to every one of the GBC and the deputies, like a little bag. And inside the bag there were so many little gifts, and Nisringa oil and different things which he gives. It's like dakshina. He gives these to the devotees to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Just like today at the end of the program, then Jayapataka Swami's disciples, they gave gifts to senior devotees. So we all got a nice little, like a fridge magnet. They're very nice. That's etiquette. Very good. Actually, the program today was very well executed. All the details, very cultured. You know, the way all the devotees, they treated all the other, and they're very attentive to the needs, serving all the other devotees. It was very nice, actually. Jayapataka Swami would have been very pleased. So that is the system. You have to give dakshina. So whenever there's a jagya sacrifice, you must give to receive blessings. Even when my guru, when he gave me, must have been second initiation, and then at the end of the jagya, we were walking, he initiated me in the temple, and then we're walking up to upstairs, and he said, "Where is the dakshina?" And I said, "I haven't got it yet," because, you know, I was a brahmachari, and I used to give all the money to the temple, so everything I collected, so I had to go to the treasury and get something to give back to him. And he said to me, he said, "The jagya is not complete. Your initiation is not complete until you give the dakshina." He said, "I gave you the mantras, Gayatri mantra." He said, "Now you must give dakshina. That's the system." It's not a superficial thing. It's an important part of the process. So we have to do that. Generally, these days we give money because that's the way the world is. But in the olden days, you would give different kinds of gifts. Any points? They gave Lord Balaram a Vaijayanti garland of unfading lotuses in which resided the goddess of fortune, and they also gave him a set of divine garments and jewelry. So Bhagavatam is teaching us the basic principle. Whenever you worship the deity, you have to give the best of whatever you possess. Whatever you have, that's what you have to give to the deity. Actually, it says this in the Nectar of Devotion as well. Rupa Goswami says this now. You must give the deity something which is dear to you. Something which you're attached to or you like. You should give that to the deity. That's a nice gift. I remember when I was a brahmachari, my mother gave me a necklace. It was like, I don't know, it might have been her necklace or something. Some necklace. So like golden necklace. So she gave it to me like a gift. It was like some family heirloom. You know that system? you know, something in the family, and then you give it to your children. So she gave it to me. So I'm a brahmachari. So what am I going to do with a gold necklace? What will I do with a gold necklace as a brahmachari? Yeah, I couldn't do anything, so I gave it to Radha Vallabha. So it had a locket, and the locket you open up, and then you put photos in. So I think my mother had a photo of me and something else, because, you know, it's her way that she thinks. So I took that out, and I put a picture of Krishna inside, and I gave the gold necklace with the locket to Srimati Radharani. And I think she still wears it. She has it around her neck. And if you open inside, then Krishna is there. Yeah, I got a picture of Balaba, right? Cut it out and then put it in there. Right? And gave that to her, because that's what she would like. So it says in Nectar of Devotion, you have to give something to the deity that the deity likes for their pleasure. So that is the system. So the Brahmanas, they're serving Lord Balaram. He is the Ishtadev, he is the deity. Give him something, the best. Whatever the best thing is, that's what you should give. Deity should always have the best of everything. Any points? Okay. Then, given leave by the sages, the Lord went into a contingent of brahmanas to the Kaushiki River, where he bathed. From there, he went to the lake from which flows the river Sarayu. The Lord followed the course of the Sarayu until he came to Prayag, where he bathed and then performed rituals to propitiate the demigods and other living beings. Next, he went to the ashram of Pulaha Rishi. So what is the basic principle? Which is being mentioned here. The basic principle is we should go on yatra, we should go on pilgrimage. We should go to the holy places to purify ourselves. Just like all of you have done. You all came here tonight to the temple. Why did you come to the temple? Purify your consciousness. You could have stayed at home and watched Netflix. Or listened to your favorite Grammy-nominated CD. So many things you could have done. Or watched your... on satellite, you could have watched your Bollywood movies. All these things. So many things we could do. But we choose to... come and hear the Bhagavatam. So the basic principle is you go to a holy place. And then Prabhupada said once a year we should go to? Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri. Once a year you should go. That should be the system. Hands up if you go once a year. Oh, good. Good. Yeah, we should go once a year. That should be the system. As much as possible, try. Try to make that your program. Prabhupada said, mold your life in such a way. Right? Not easy in Kali Yuga, but try to do it so you get a chance to go. Because it has a powerful impact on the consciousness. I always try to go every year. My guru gave me that instruction. And Prabhupada gave that instruction. So I try to do it. It has a very powerful effect on the consciousness. You know, for me, you know, all of us probably, but for me, I feel like, you know, it's not easy to go back to Krishna. So going to the Holy Dharma gives me so much upliftment. It says in the Harinam Chintamani. Who wrote the Harinam Chintamani? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Who is it a conversation between? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. They're having a conversation. Right? Who is speaking? Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him questions. It's a very important book, actually. Harinam Chintamani is an extremely important book. I studied it after I'd been a devotee for about 4 years. And it has a I would personally say it's one of the most important books to study. You know, besides Prabhupada's books, it's a very, very important book. You know, because it really gives the science of chanting the holy name of Krishna. And then equally important, I would say, is the sequel. What is the sequel to Harinam Chintamani? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a second book years later. It's called Bhajan Rahasya. Anyone read that one? Read that? Yeah, this one's very important. That book changed my life. That book changed my life. That book is extremely important. Actually, in the Gaudiya Math, whenever it is Kartik, everyone in Gaudiya Math for the whole month, they study Bhajan Rahasya every day. Such an important book. Bhajan, what does Rahasya mean?
Secret.
Bhajan means your worship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the last book that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. So imagine how important it is. If it's the last book that he wrote, right? And see, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya, the secrets of how he did his bhajan, what he meditated upon. It's extremely important. Do you know the format of the book? How the book is constructed? Yeah, it follows different things. So it follows Shikshastika. Shikshastika means? There are eight prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's another book which is extremely important. There's a commentary on Shikshastika by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That's also one of the most, had one of the most powerful effects in my devotional life. Studying Shikshastika very carefully, the commentaries by the acharyas. So Bhajan Rahasya is based upon the Shikshastika, the eight verses, right? And then within the eight verses, there are the nine levels of bhakti. What are the nine levels of bhakti? Yeah, Shraddha to Prema. So within Shikshastika, those nine levels are situated. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he analyzes that, how they are situated within the eight verses of the Shikshastika. Simultaneously, then while he's meditating, he takes the Maha Mantra, which has 16 16 sets of mantra. Hare Krishna, right? And then Hare Krishna, and then Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, that's four. And then Hare Ram, that's eight. So then it correlates, when you chant each part of the mantra, it correlates to a particular pastime of Krishna in the Ashtakaliya Leela, in the eight times of the day that Krishna performs his Leela. So that's what the Bhajana Rahasya is. It's a meditation on the Maha Mantra within the Ashtakaliya Leela, the eight pastimes of Krishna, within the eight verses of the Shikshastika, following the nine levels of bhakti. Does it sound like an interesting book? Yeah. I mean, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's final book. Yeah, it's a brilliant treatise that he mixes all those things together. Right? It had an incredibly powerful effect on me, like reading and studying that book. Right? So Harinam Chintamani is a discussion between Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. So Mahaprabhu asks the questions. So it's like Krishna asking the questions and then Arjuna answering. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks and Krishna answers. But in Harinam Chintamani, Lord Chaitanya asks, and then Haridas Thakur answers the questions. And Haridas Thakur says that if you are becoming unenthusiastic in your devotional service, is anyone feeling unenthusiastic? Your bhakti? Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe you're not feeling unenthusiastic right now, but sometimes do you feel? Sometimes, okay. Yeah. Maybe at the moment you are, or sometimes. So then, specifically to remedy that, Haridas Thakur says, on the appearance days of the Lord, just like we had Ram Navami on Sunday, He said you should dedicate the whole day to hearing and chanting. Right? And by doing that, you can revitalize your bhakti. Because I was also struggling last week. I was feeling like a bit of a struggle. You know, I have some health issues. You know, I had that car accident 10 years ago, and it when I hit my head, and every day it gives me problem. You know, devotees don't know, you don't notice it because it's like inside, but yeah, every day. But last week, at the end of the week, I was really feeling challenged. It was difficult, hard for me to focus on my chanting, and really problem. And then Ram Navami came, so I really just tried the whole day just to focus on Lord Ram. Then everything just came back again. I was enthused. So this is why we have to take advantage of these days. Haridas Thakur specifically says, this is the remedy to overcome your lack of enthusiasm in bhakti on important days. And he specifically says Ekadashi. Which day is Ekadashi?
Today.
Oh, today. Today's Ekadashi? Okay, lucky. Okay. Because we had Mahaprasad offered to Jabhataka Swami, 270 preparations. Something like that, 230 or 270 or something like that. So then today we all ate the Ekadashi Prasad offered to. Quite a rich feast. I actually don't know why we do it in this context, because every time we have a feast at the end, everyone just feels like, oh my God, you know, I nearly died. And I don't actually know why we do that. I actually personally believe it would be more intelligent if we cooked a little bit lighter. You know, make a nice feast, but just make it a little bit lighter. Like, sometimes the feast is so heavy, like you feel like you're going to die at the end. You know. Has anyone had that experience? Yeah, we actually do. So what's the point? I'm kind of thinking, what's the point? Is the Lord happy from this? I think something we need to discuss is, as devotees. Yeah? I know some devotees who don't eat the feasts. I know some devotees, they don't eat the feasts. They'll just take like a little something to honor, but they don't eat the feasts because they're just too... they destroy the material body. Spiritual body is okay, but the material body is difficult. So the basic thing is, the Haridas Thakur says on the Ekadashi, right, every 2 weeks there's Ekadashi, he said you should increase your hearing and chanting on that day and it will enliven your enthusiasm. I remember back when I joined, it was common for devotees to chant extra rounds on Ekadashi. It was very common. Devotees do that now? Anyone chant extra rounds on Ekadashi? You do? Yeah, good.
Sambhur Maharaj asked their disciples to do
that. Who? Vedavyasa Maharaj does? Yeah. What does he say? 25. That's nice. That's nice. Yeah, Bhavananda Prabhu. You know Bhavananda Prabhu? He was a guru in Australia, like back in the late in the after Prabhupada left in the early 80s. He was doing that. Like everyone in Australia when they initiated, he would say 25 rounds on Ekadashi because he used to do that. Prabhupada liked that. Because he would say to Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, chant extra rounds on Ekadashi. He said, very good. So it's a good system, actually. So extra rounds on Ekadashi, you will feel that will enliven your bhakti, your devotional service to Krishna. So these special days. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know that bhajan, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anuku. So you sing that song. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that song, days like holy days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami are the mothers of devotion. That's where devotion comes from. By observing those days nicely, you will get so much devotion. So we should increase our hearing and chanting. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Maha Mantra. Please chant. Any points?
I don't know where I heard one statement from one Maharaj. I don't even long time I heard this picture. He says when a devotee feels completely demotivated, completely lost, only remedy for that is, he said, go and sit before a Vaishnava who is giving Bhagavatam class or any class. Just here. Don't worry. Just here. He said...
Who said that?
I forgot that Maharaj. I think it's Ramaprasana Maharaj. 5 years back I heard this. He just said, if you don't feel like doing anything, even chanting, some people they can't even chant because of so and so, you know, someone has passed in the family and their day. He said, go and sit before Vaishnava. And he said that it is an instruction given by Ramanujacharya.
It's a good instruction. It's a good instruction. So try to follow that. It says in the Kartik Dham Mahatmya, Rupa Goswami says that during Kartik, whenever someone is giving class, you should go and sit there. If anyone is giving class in Kartik, you hear there's a class on, you should just go and sit there and just listen. Some devotees have that vow. They will go to any class they hear. Even I know some devotees in Vrindavan, they give like 4 classes a day. And devotees come and listen during Kartik. It's like a crux. So you should listen. You become enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Transcendental Mahamantra Ki. You have to listen these days. We have MP3 or what do we call it these days?
SoundCloud.
Yeah, so whatever it is, whatever we call it these days. But we should listen to lectures every day. Where I live, there are not classes every day. Like, you know, on the farm, we don't have class every day. But every day, then I will listen to lectures. I've been doing that for a long time, many years. Every day, I just listen. Lectures, sometimes, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, depends on the day. Just listen to lectures like that. You learn so much about Krishna consciousness. Lord Balaram bathed in the Gomati, Gandaki, and Vipasha rivers, and also immersed himself in the Shona. He went to Gaya, where he worshipped his forefathers, and to the mouth of the Ganges, where he performed purifying ablutions. At Mount Mahendra, he saw Lord Parashuram and offered him prayers. And then he bathed in the 7 branches of the Godavari River, and also in the rivers Vena, Pampa, and Bhimarati. Then Lord Balaram met Lord Skanda and visited Sri Shaila, the abode of Lord Girisha. In the southern provinces known as Dravida Desh, the Supreme Lord saw the sacred Venkata Hill, as well as the cities of Kamakoshni and Kanchi, the exalted Kaveri River, and the most holy Sri Ranga, where Lord Krishna has manifested himself. From there he went to Rishabha Mountain, where Lord Krishna also lives, and to the southern Mathura. Then he came to Setu Banda, where the most grievous sins are destroyed. So why do we go to the holy places? What is it?
Purify our consciousness and recharge our batteries.
Yeah. Yeah, we go there to increase our bhakti. That's why we go to the holy places. Some people go to the holy places just to relieve themselves of sin. That's not why we go. That's just like, if that happens, that's an extra benefit. But the reason we go is to increase our bhakti, our devotion to Krishna. Because that is the potency of the holy place. Because the whole of Vrindavan, Mayapur and Puri is just emanating bhakti or devotion to Krishna. So that is our meditation. That is our motivation to go to these places.
Prabhu, I'm just demotivated by this.
Oh, God.
How come Balaram went to all these places when Krishna is the... When he was with Krishna, why he has to go to all these other places? Is this to teach us or what?
To teach us. I'd already said that. To teach us, yad yad acharya teach jayas das. Whatever Balaram does, you have to do it also. So, Lord Balaram, he went to all the holy places and said he even went to Gaya. And Gaya means?
Kashi.
Yeah, it's a place you go to perform the oblations for?
Forefathers.
The forefathers, right. But it actually says his father was still on the planet. And it's an important point because Lord Chaitanya went there. When Jagannath Mishra disappeared, Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya. Why did Lord Chaitanya go to Gaya?
With oblation for the forefathers.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually for that.
to meet his guru.
Yeah, he met his guru there. Yeah.
So we have came in many verse on that also.
What is that?
The first verse which you have given for this example, where Lord Krishna says, I myself follow religious principles to teach the world. Is it an example?
Yeah, same point that he says in the Gita. Yeah, so that's why he goes to the holy places. Right? Why did Lord Chaitanya go to the holy place? Right? To increase his bhakti. To see the feet of Lord Vishnu. Right? It says in Gaya, you can see the feet of Lord Vishnu. The actual imprints are there. That's why we go to the holy places. Not for the secondary reasons. Even if one of our relatives passes away and we go there to, you know, do the final oblations, that's not the main reason we go, right? It's to pray for them to attain Krishna, right? It's for us to also purify our consciousness like that. It's not for material reasons. The material reason should never overshadow the devotional reason. Lord Chaitanya taught this. When he went to Gaya, he taught us that the main reason we go is for the spiritual. Don't let the material overshadow. Because especially for you, because you're all in Indian bodies, there's a lot more pressure on all of you, you know, from your families and so forth. Less pressure in some ways, less pressure for us in Western bodies. But for you, there's a lot of pressure from the family. But that should never overcome your bhakti. You should never let your family put you into a position where it compromises your devotional principles. Best thing you do is you make them into devotees. That is the best. What's that? The southern Mathura is the Mathura in the south. I have no idea where it is, but yeah. You can look it up if you do a Google.
It says Madurai.
Which one is it?
Madurai.
Do you know where that is? Or?
It's in the word-to-word translation. It says Sadar Mathura.
That's Madurai.
Amora Vodas Meenakshi.
You know where that is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in South India.
South India.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Meenakshi.
Okay. So that's the place. Okay. I've never been to South. I've only been North. I mean, I went to Mumbai, but that's not South. That's not like, yeah. Yes. I never went down to them.
Arvada also avoided going to Puri.
Yeah. Why did he not go?
Because he was there alone.
Yeah. It's an interesting point that Lord Balaram did not go to Jagannath Puri even though he was close to Puri. Why? Because he was on the altar. So, you know. Yeah, not really. He doesn't want to show up. He's showing us we should not be egotistical. You know, you shouldn't go and like worship a deity of yourself. What's the point? It's like I've seen, I've been to people's houses and they have pictures of themselves in the house. That, to me, that's strange. I find that strange. It's like you keep a picture of yourself in the house. Like, what is that? You know, the person's going like, what's the point? I've seen this. You know, people are like, big photograph of themselves. I mean, that's strange. Or, you know, these days in Kali Yuga, everyone takes selfie. You know this thing? Yeah, selfie. Like, to me, that's the strangest thing. Why are you taking a photo of yourself? And then you put it on the internet. Oh, I am doing this. It's very strange, I think. So Lord Balaram is teaching us. Lord Balaram would not take a selfie. Lord Balaram would not go and see his own deity. You know, and like, oh, there I am. Okay. There at Setu Banda, Rameshwaram, Lord Halayuta gave Brahmanas 10,000 cows in charity. He then visited the Kritamala and Tamrapani rivers and the great Malaya mountains. In the Malaya range, Lord Balaram found Agastya Rishi sitting in meditation. After bowing down to the sage, the Lord offered him prayers and then received blessings from him. Taking leave from Agastya, he proceeded to the shore of the southern ocean where he saw the goddess Durga in her form of Kanya Kumari. So Lord Balaram is teaching us how to go to holy places. What is the etiquette when we go to the holy place? What did he do when he got there?
He gave charity.
He gave charity, very good. Like here, like this holy place, Melbourne Temple is a holy place. You have to give charity to this temple. You have to give charity. If you're living here somewhere in Melbourne, you come to the temple, you have to give charity. That's the system. Right. And if you go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri, you have to give charity. You have to give to the deities or to the devotees. Or something. You have to give charity. That's the process. Especially for Grihasthas, they have to give charity. Right. And then when he was in the holy place, he went to visit the sadhus. It says in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that if you go to the holy place just to take bath in the river, but you don't hear from the saintly people, you are no better than a cow. Right? You're just an animal. You just go and take bath and you leave. The whole point of going to holy place is to hear from the holy people, the saintly people. And that's why we come to this temple. To hear from devotees. If you come here, but you don't, I know some devotees, I see, they come to the temple, but they don't go into class. What's the point? Why did you come here? Just to see the deity? That's good, but it's not the best. The best is you must hear. Srila Prabhupada ki.